Well, good morning, Grace.
Good morning.
And this is a situation we didn't expect yet, but we're thankful for the opportunity that we can still come and we can worship the Lord together in this way. And today, we're going to be talking about the blessing of 2020. And so I'm glad all of you were able to kind of tune in and watch this service. But we pray that we wouldn't be hindered in any way in our worship of Him. We know that God is bigger than all these things, and we're excited for the opportunity to spend time with Him. So would you pray with me and ask God's blessing on this time? So Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunities we have before us. Lord, as this year is wrapping up, Lord, many of us are thankful that it is. But Lord, we recognize the purpose and plan of God in this year. And Lord, we recognize that You have plans and purposes for the coming year, 2021. And Father, I pray that You would prepare us for the year ahead, that You would give us the encouragement that we need and the endurance, that You would fill us with Your grace and Your purpose, Lord, and that we wouldn't lose sight, Lord, of the great things that You have for us and for Your people and Your kingdom. So Holy Spirit, we pray for Your blessing on this time. We pray, Lord, that as people are at home or wherever they are watching this message, Lord, that You would, by Your Holy Spirit, fill them, Lord, with all joy and peace in believing in You. May they know Your great hope. May they be filled with encouragement this day. And may You prepare us for the coming week and the coming year. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, had to change things up a bit this morning. And the title is The Blessing of 2020 or The Benediction. And if you, like myself, have looked back upon this last year, there were a lot of unfortunate events, a lot of things that made us uncomfortable that we didn't like and we maybe still don't like. But we cannot ignore the fact that God has used all things for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's the faithful promise of Romans 8:28. And every year of my life serving the Lord, I have seen that promise come true. And I hope you have as well, because there are situations now that 2020 has brought into perspective. I think our life and how quickly things can change have been brought into perspective. I think the insignificant and unimportant things that maybe we've participated in the past, we're turning away from. We're seeing families spending time together. Maybe not the extended family, but the immediate family is. You might see more people going for walks. We are definitely seeing that in our neighborhood and community. Families spending time and valuing that time together. And so as we're ready to wrap up 2020, the best way I think to do that is to give a benediction. And you might be wondering, that's kind of a weird word. We don't use it all the time. What is a benediction? It is the utterance or bestowing of a blessing, especially at the end of a religious service. Now, we are wrapping up a year of religious service to the Lord. Everything you and I do is service to the Lord, and what a year of service it's been. And if at any year's end we need a benediction, it's 2020, a bestowing of God's blessing upon His people. And this is something that we're going to do by actually studying one of the most famous benedictions in all of Scripture. It's the one that I give at the end of every service. So if you've ever been with us and you're here at the end of the service, you will recognize this benediction taken from Numbers 6. But I want to give you a few benedictions, some examples from Scripture. And Paul is one who gives many benedictions. So we can call these Pauline benedictions. Turn to Romans 15:13, please. Now, one of the tricks to letting online services impact you the most is have your Bible ready. So if you need to pause, go get your Bible, go get it, because we're not going to have the words up on the screen. You have them in your Bible. So turn to Romans 15:13. And Paul's speaking to the Roman believers and blessing them. And this is the benediction he gives. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I love that. I wonder how many people today need to be filled with all joy and peace in believing. I think that's probably something that the majority of the world today does not have all joy or peace in believing in Jesus. But we as Christians, as believers, at this year's end, should be those who have all joy and peace through believing in Jesus. And I love how it says that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God would make them abound in hope. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but my mom raised us on Winnie the Pooh. And I can't help think of Tigger, you know, T-I-double-G-er. And Tigger is the one who is always abounding with excitement and hope for the next new adventure. It's hard to keep a Tigger down. Eeyore, on the other hand, wakes up down and stays down. He's easily discouraged. He doesn't abound in anything but despair. And so I wonder, at the end of 2020, would you classify yourself as more of a Tigger or an Eeyore? Tiggers abound in hope, Eeyores drown in despair. Or maybe you're kind of in between the two. You're a Winnie the Pooh. You see, Winnie the Pooh, if he's hanging out with Tigger, he gets excited, he gets influenced, and he starts to abound in hope and excitement. But if he's around Eeyore too much, he begins to say, the woe is me, oh dear, what shall we do? And I think God would like us to be more like the Tiggers, abounding in hope. And that is Paul's desire for the Roman believers who were going through all kinds of trials and persecution. And that's why they needed that blessing of abounding hope. What about Romans 15, 5? Listen carefully to this benediction Paul gives. 15, 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accordance with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's another great benediction for 2020. Paul refers to God as the God of endurance and the God of encouragement. Now, I find myself counseling many people in times of grief. And 2020 has been full of times like that. And oftentimes in those counseling sessions, I'm reminded of how David refers to God as the God of all comfort. Because when someone's grieving, they need to know that all the comfort they need is found in Jesus, the God of all comfort. But I wasn't real aware of how Paul refers to God as the God of endurance and the God of encouragement. And those are two things that I really needed more of in my wrestling career. When you don't have endurance, a wrestling match is grueling. It is awful. When you start to get winded, when you lack endurance, you lack encouragement. You start to go downhill. You don't have the same energy. You don't have everything you need to compete and fight the way you normally would. So a lack of endurance can lead to discouragement. And these two things go hand in hand, because if you're being given a lot of encouragement, that actually helps you with your endurance. You may be tired, but if you're getting all this encouragement, you can start to endure things you never thought you could before. And that's why God is the God of encouragement and endurance. And he gives that encouragement we need, and he builds that endurance, and he builds that endurance, which gives us more encouragement. And I think those are two things people need today. They need more endurance for the trials and struggles of today, so that they can endure and be encouraged for what God has for them tomorrow. Too many people are lacking the spiritual energy and endurance they need, and they're not getting the encouragement from God's word they need as well. So the God of endurance and encouragement will give us everything we need. They go hand in hand. What about 2 Corinthians 13:11? I'm going to look at that passage in 1 Thessalonians 5. So find those in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 13:11. It's a benediction because you can tell by the first word. Finally, finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Not only is he a God of all comfort, the God of endurance, the God of encouragement, but he is also the God of love and peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 agrees with this. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to put all these benedictions I read together, you would realize that they all aim at bestowing blessing on you and I, upon God's people, upon his church. But they also all describe who God is, because God's blessings are based on who he is and his nature. And so we hear that he is the God of all comfort. He is the God of hope. He is the God of endurance, the God of encouragement, and the God of love and peace. And we are reminded by all of these examples that no matter the circumstances you and I face, whether it be 2021 or 2081, the reality is God is the one we need. He is the giver of all blessings. He is the source and solution for every problem. And mysteriously enough, these benedictions, these statements of truth, have profound power to bestow upon you and I God's blessings in the coming year. I don't know how it works, but I know that these blessings and the one that we're going to study today, God uses to bestow blessing on those to whom it is given. That's why I give it at the end of every service we do. I will give it at the end of this one. But we're going to study that blessing, that benediction found in Numbers 6. So turn there with me, Numbers 6, 22 through 27. And we're going to do as we do every Sunday, stand in honor of God's word. So wherever you're at, if you would stand with me, and we're going to read Numbers 6, 22. Fourth book of the Bible. Took me a while to find it. Maybe took you a while. Numbers 6, 22. Let us read this together. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. You can be seated. Now, you'll notice the very end of that passage and that blessing is the promise that God will bless them. He will bless you and I. And every blessing of the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus. So every blessing comes to us in Jesus and in his name. We're told in Ephesians 1 that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. You cannot be blessed in this life in any other person but in Jesus. All God's promises are fulfilled in him. Now, we're going to look at the background of this blessing so you understand why God spoke it to Moses and what its purpose was. We're going to look at the substance of the blessing and the promise of it. So let's look at this first verse together, Numbers 6, 22. We're told that the Lord spoke to Moses. So this blessing comes from God to Moses, who then gives it to Aaron. And Aaron is to speak it over the people. And so there's three different parties or representatives to this blessing. There is the Lord, who is the giver of the blessing. The only reason the blessing works is because it's based upon God, and he's the giver of that blessing. And then Moses gives it to the priests, which is Aaron and his sons, the Levites, those called to serve the Lord in the temple as his priests. They are the ones who pronounce the blessing, and then the people are the recipients, those who receive it. Now, what's going on in Israel at this time is God has taken the Israelites out of Egypt. He has delivered them through Moses. They have found themselves in the wilderness wandering. They've got the tent of meeting. That's where they set up the tent. That's where they worship the Lord. That's where they sacrifice to him. And God is speaking to Moses how to number and organize the people of Israel by tribes. Now, these first six chapters focus primarily upon God picking the Levites to be the tribe of priests. Instead of taking the firstborn of every tribe, God says, I took the firstborn of Egypt in judgment. I'm going to take the firstborn of Israel in blessing. But instead of taking the firstborn of every tribe, I'm going to take the Levites as my firstborn. They are going to serve me in the temple. And one of the primary functions of the priests is to bless the people, to offer sacrifices for their sins, to serve them so they can worship the Lord, and to provide a blessing of God's word over the people. Much like pastors of today, our primary job is to bless the people of God with his word and equipping them for the life of faith God has called them to. And so you see this blessing start to take root, and the command is given to these Levites of what they are to do. And so they are to take these Levites, they are to serve, and the Levites, the priests, had to be 30 to 50 years old. You could not serve as a priest until you were 30 years old. And I just say that because that's really fascinating. Oftentimes I've wondered why Jesus waited until he was 30 to start his earthly ministry, to be baptized by John in the Jordan, and then serve the Lord, his Father, 3 years of ministry before the cross. And it's because you couldn't be a priest until you were 30. So Jesus was fulfilling the Old Testament law even in that. And so now you have the command. The Lord spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to Aaron. Aaron and his sons spoke the blessing over the people. And it's much like the New Testament, in which God the Father spoke through Jesus. Jesus spoke the word of blessing, the gospel, to the apostles, and the apostles spoke it over the people. Same thing today. And so now you have this command. God says to Moses, Aaron is to bless the people. It wasn't an option. He didn't say, if Aaron feels like blessing the people. He says, no, he will bless them. It is a command to do so, and it is one of the highest responsibilities the priest has. Now, that blessing of the priest in the Old Testament, Jesus is the one who blesses us in the New Testament. We're told in Hebrews 3:1 that Jesus is our high priest. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. And just as the high responsibility of the priest is to bless the people of God, Jesus, our high priest, is the one who blesses us. He speaks that blessing, and that's why Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, what is the substance of this blessing? Look at verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. What does it mean that the Lord bless you? You know, when you sneeze, oh, the Lord bless you. People used to believe that when you sneezed, your heart stopped, and they were asking God to preserve your life. that you wouldn't die in that moment when you sneeze. So that's where that term, oh, Lord bless you anytime we sneeze, Gesundheit, that's where it comes from. But to bless you, what does it mean? I've always struggled with that. What does the Lord bless you mean? Well, first of all, that blessing is based upon the Lord. That is the thrice holy name of God, Yahweh. I am that I am. I'm the God who exists, the one who is, who was, and always will be. So this blessing is based on the Lord himself. And the power of this blessing is based on him. You see, if I were to bless you, that wouldn't mean much because I have no power over your future and what happens in your life. I can do things nice to you and for you, and that's kindness and that's a way of blessing, but that blessing does not carry the impact that God's blessing does because God is sovereign and in control of your life. If he decides to bless you, he can show his favor and ensure amazing things for you in the future. I can't do that for you. Neither can any other human being. But God, the Lord, he is the one who this blessing is based on. So when a pastor like myself speaks this blessing over you, the Lord bless you, we are trusting that God is the one who is going to pour out this blessing in the future on your life. In the Hebrew, the word blessing actually means to kneel down. And I've wrestled with this all week and what that means to make someone kneel. And it is, if God blesses you, someone who is so blessed, their response can be one of utter gratitude and falling to their knees in awe of what they've been given. And I think that's the essence, that we end up bowing out of worship and honor because of all the good God has given to us. And are we not a blessed people? Do we not have blessings that we take for granted? Family members we take for granted. And when we realize and we have a godly perspective in what God has done in our life, it should bring us to our knees in worship. That is what it means to be blessed. It also means to give good fortune in the future, God's divine favor, to speak favorably about somebody, to bless them, to say good and honoring things about them and to them. And to bless someone also means to make them happy. I want to give you some examples of blessing that God gives in the Old Testament, leading us up to this New Testament reality we live in. The first blessing was given to Adam and Eve. There's no shocker there. Genesis 1:22, turn there with me. Genesis 1:22, it tells us that God blessed them. That's the Hebrew word barak, meaning to make them kneel down. He blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. This is the blessing of fruitfulness. Blessing of family or individuals with kids. Kids are a heritage and blessing of the Lord. And so God blessed Adam and Eve by allowing them to have children. You also have God not only blessing people, but days of the week. Genesis 2:3. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. The seventh day, which is Saturday, becomes the day that God has uniquely blessed out of the seven. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, we consider the first day of the week the Lord's day, holy unto him and blessed. But either way, God has blessed rest. That is a sign of blessing, that you don't have to work every day, day in and day out, but you get a day to rest in the Lord. That is a sign of God's blessing. He gave that to the Israelites who were slaves, and all they knew was work and toil sunup to sundown every day of their life and existence. And then God delivers them from sin and slavery and says, I'm giving you a day off. One day out of seven. The blessing of rest. God also blessed Noah and his sons the same way he did Adam and Eve, because God poured out judgment on all creation except Noah, his sons, their family, and the animals in the ark. But God says this in Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. He reinstated the creation blessing because he needed to bless them. He wanted to bless them so that they could grow as a family and the heritage of the Lord would grow. But then there's this interesting blessing God gives to Abraham, a blessing of his covenantal love, where he chooses to call Abraham to himself, make him his own, make all his children his own, and to be with him forever. This is the blessing of God's grace. Genesis 12:1. Let's look at that. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, or Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We know from previous messages and studies that the blessing of Abraham is Jesus. He came through the line of Abraham, and he is the one in whom all the nations are blessed. Everybody who believes in Jesus is blessed by the Lord. They have God's divine favor. God has placed his love upon them. As he chose to love Abraham, God chooses to love you, all those who believe in him, in his son. But God also gave his blessing to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 2:7. Listen to these words, Deuteronomy 2:7. For the Lord your God has blessed you. How? In all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Some of you can look back on your life, no matter if you've lived for 15 years, you've lived for 55 or 95 years, you can look at your life thus far and see God's blessing on you. This is a description of God's blessing. The blessing of prosperous work. That God blesses the work of your hands. He causes it to succeed. So when I pray this blessing over you, I'm praying that God would cause the work of your hands to succeed. That no matter what you do, God would bless that work for his glory. Not only that, that you would have the blessing of God's presence. He says to the Israelites, he has been with you these 40 years in the wilderness. He has not left you alone. Not only the blessing of prosperous work of his presence, but also provision. He says, and you have lacked nothing. I wonder how many of you can look back on your life and see that you might not have always had what you wanted, but God has always provided what you've needed. You see, when the Lord blesses you, he blesses the work of your hands. He is with you wherever you go. And he gives you everything you need. You lack nothing. Deuteronomy 7:6 is the best description of God's blessing on the children of Israel, his covenant people, which is the blessing he has placed upon his covenant people, the church. Deuteronomy 7:6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Think about that. He's telling the Israelites, I could have chosen any other nation, but I chose you. How blessed they must have felt. And if you believe in Jesus today, the same holds true, that of all the people in the world, for some reason, if you have been drawn to faith in Christ, you can be confident that God has chosen you. That is the highest form of blessing in all the world, that God would choose you out of the world, out of the nations, to be part of his family, to be his treasured possession. Verse 7, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That is the blessing of God's election, him choosing to love you. And so when we pray, may the Lord bless you, we're asking that God would place his love upon you. Now, if you put all these together, what does it mean, may the Lord bless you? We're going to amplify it and apply it. It means, may God make you fruitful. May he give you grace, prosper the work of your hands, be with you wherever you go, provide for you so you lack nothing, and may he place his love upon you forever. Man, that little phrase, the Lord bless you, is jam-packed, is it not? It is amazing to look at what God wants to do in blessing you. But he doesn't want to just bless you. He wants to keep you. And if we define that term in the Hebrew, it means to keep watch over, to observe you, to guard you in all your ways. And Psalm 121 is the best example I personally found that the Lord led me to share with you this morning. Look at Psalm 121. Because this whole entire chapter, it's only, what, 8 verses, it's all about God watching over you and keeping you. So this is what it means for God to watch over you. Psalm 121:1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And here it comes. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, meaning guardian or protector. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Man, let that be your verse for 2021. Let that be your promise. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Man, no greater example of the Lord keeping watch over his people. As a shepherd watches his sheep, so our good shepherd Jesus watches over you and I. And so that benediction, that prayer at the end of the service is praying that the Lord would keep watch over you as he does in Psalm 21 for those who love him. Listen to verse 25. This is the one that might confuse you a little because we know what it means for the Lord to bless you, the Lord to keep you. But what does it mean? May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Well, this is a figurative usage of it, to make his face shine upon you. And it means to establish favorable circumstances to give you peace and relief from trouble. If the world is dark and gloomy and full of despair, then the sun shines its light and beauty and your day changes. It's the idea that God's face, his glory shining upon you, pushes away the darkness of despair, and he shows you the favorable circumstances he has chosen for you. Now, many of us find ourselves in unfavorable circumstances these days. So when we pray, may the Lord make his face shine upon you, we're asking that those unfavorable circumstances, God would turn them to favorable. I love that. Something we all need. that he would turn his face towards you, that he might shine his face upon you. And yet there's a gospel connection here. Do you remember what God the Father did when Jesus was hanging upon the cross? He turned his face away from his son. You see, in judgment, it means to turn away, to really turn your back towards the person that they might be judged for their sins. Now, Jesus wasn't judged for his sins, but he took our sins upon himself so that when the Father turned his face away from Jesus, he was turning his face towards us to bless us. He turned away from Jesus so that he might be cursed, so that he could turn his face towards us, that we might be blessed. That's what it means for his face to shine upon you. What about, do you know what happens when God's face shines upon you? Psalm 80, verse 3. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. When God's face shines upon you and I, we are saved. So may the Lord make his face shine upon you, as may the Lord save you in every way that you need saving. Lastly, and may the Lord be gracious to you. I like this one a lot. The Hebrew is Hanan. I'm going to pretend that's how it's pronounced. I'm sure it's different. But Hanan means to have mercy, to take pity upon a person, to act in kindness towards them, and to forgive them. So if we were to apply it and amplify it, for God to be gracious to you means for God to act in kindness to you, to forgive you and show you mercy. And that's my prayer for each one of us this coming year, that God would act in kindness towards you, that he would forgive you and show you his great mercy. We all need it. And now look at verse 26 with me, because it's synonymous in ways with the verse we just studied. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Countenance means face, and give you peace. You see, make his face shine upon you is synonymous with lift up his countenance upon you. That instead of looking down, he would look upon you in joy and pleasure. To let his face shine upon you, it's synonymous. But be gracious to you and give you peace also go hand in hand. You see, God's grace and kindness towards you culminates towards us in the giving of peace. Grace and kindness, God acting in kindness towards you, is him choosing to make peace with you and give you peace. And just finishing this Christmas season, hoping you all had an amazing Christmas, but I pray more than anything that you came to know the peace of Christ. You see, we heard in our candlelight service about Luke 2 that the angels gave to the shepherds good news of great joy for all the people. And what was that good news of great joy for everyone? That a Savior was born. And because a Savior was born, God has brought peace to those with whom he is pleased. And so one of the greatest blessings, if we're going to bestow blessing upon somebody, if God is going to put his blessing on you and I, it's going to be in the form of peace. That he is not angry with us any longer. That we are not at war with him. We're not divided or separated from him. But in Jesus, through the blood of his cross, he has brought peace. And he has brought unity between God and man once again. Colossians 1:19. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And so we see that the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, is that God would give you peace with himself, that he would forgive your sins that separate you from him, And not only would he reconcile you to himself, but he would also give you peace with man, that he would reconcile you with other people whom you are in relationship with, and maybe those relationships are strained presently. So at the end of the service, if you are strained in any relationship you have, that blessing is meant to bestow God's peace in those relationships. And then number 627. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Remember, this is the blessing the priest would speak over the people. And by speaking this blessing, it says that the priest shall put my name, the holy name of the Lord, upon the people of Israel. And if his name is upon them, he will bless them. Remember, the blessing comes from the Lord and his holy name. And that is an amazing reality when we see how we pray in the name of Christ, we give God's blessing in the name of Jesus. All of that, God's blessing is based upon whose name is upon you. And when the priest or the pastor prays this benediction and blessing over you, it is they are actively placing God's name on you. You are being marked by the holy name of God so that all heaven and earth knows that you are a marked man and woman, that you belong to God, you have been redeemed by the name of Jesus, therefore God's blessing rests upon you. That's why Satan tries to attack you and I so often. We walk around with the holy name of God, the blessing of God, and Satan hates it. He and his demons want to do everything they can to rob us of our peace, rob us of our joy, cause us to not abound in hope, but drown in despair, and he wants to try to remove the blessing of God, which he cannot. But this blessing is one in which you become a marked person. Why do you think when we are baptized, when we're brought into this covenant, we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Because the thrice holy God's name, the triune God, is placed upon every baptized believer. You belong to him. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And all of his blessings in Jesus have been given to you and me. You see, I learned from this, and I hope you do as well, that God's desire for you is to bless you. He doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want to take away privileges. He wants to bless you. And in this coming year, 2021, it is my firm conviction that God wants to bless you and I in ways that we have not even conceived. That's not wishful thinking. That is biblical thinking. God's desire and passion is to bless you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, to bless you. God's plan to give you a future and a hope is to bless you. God gives this blessing, and he gives it freely. You know, it's interesting how the blessing was given in Scripture. Leviticus 9:22 says, then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. I don't know the significance of that. I don't know in what mystical, mysterious way the lifting of hands, what power there is in that. But apparently there is, because Aaron did it, so did Jesus. Luke 24:50, then he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and he blessed them. So I'm going to do something that I haven't done in this blessing, is I am going to lift my hands because it's biblical, and I'm going to pray God's blessing over you in this benediction. And I hope you know that God is the answer to every problem and dilemma that you face. You see, this is the time where we need the blessing of the Lord. We need to know that it is the Lord who will bless you. It is the Lord who will keep you. He's the one who will make his face shine upon you. He'll be gracious to you, and he'll give you peace. And that's my prayer for this coming year. Don't fear the coming year. Be excited for it. Be abounding in hope towards it. Even though we're online right now, it doesn't prevent the word of God from going out. It doesn't hinder God from working in your life and using you and equipping you for the coming week. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to give the benediction of 2020 over you and I this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness towards us. We thank you, God, that Jesus is our high priest, that the blessing of God comes to us through Jesus, who has spoken the word of blessing, the gospel of our salvation over us. And Lord, I thank you that you are the God of all comfort, the God of all hope, the God of endurance, the God of encouragement, and the God of love and peace. And Lord, may you bestow upon your people all those attributes and more. I pray, Lord, that no matter what we went through in 2020 and the lessons learned, may we learn from them, carry it into 2021, and may we be expectant of your great favor and blessing in the coming year. Lord, I pray that we would not be judged, but Lord, we would be blessed. That Lord, you would bless us, Lord, all the work of our hands in our life, in our ministry to our families. Lord, in our work, in everything we do, may you bless the work of our hands. Lord, may you be with us in everything we do, and may you provide for us so we lack nothing. But Lord, may we bless you. May we praise you and honor you today. And Lord, I pray that you do great and wondrous things in and through your people in this coming week and in this coming year. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, folks, we miss you. We love you. Hopefully there's just one more week of doing online services like this. But the challenge is to walk in the blessing of God today, knowing God's name is on you. You are marked by him. He has placed his love upon you and filled you with his Holy Spirit. And may you be full of all joy and peace in this coming week. And may you know his great love for you. And so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Love you all. See you soon.